more than 15 years. He leaves behind a wife and three children. Will you join in prayer for the family and legacy of Mohammed Yusuf Bhatt? For more, go online to persecution.com.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magadan. Stay tuned and focused in that word of life ministered to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Psalm 34 is a Psalm of David. Psalm of David. And I had another message that I was going to preach this morning, kind of an instructional message going into the next year. And God said, well, that's good. You can use that some other time, but I want you to continue the path that people should focus and follow me. Psalm 34 gives us a good look at a person who focused on the Lord and followed God. Reading Psalm 34, we're going to read, parade and peruse the periphery of verses 1 through 9. Amen? When you have it, say, I have the word. And I'm ready to receive it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Amen. This word is intended to encourage your hearts, to inspire you to press on, to go on in the name of the Lord. The grass withered, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. Want to use for a thought this morning, just a taste. That's it. That's all you need. Just a taste. Amen. This psalm is the Psalm of David, as I indicated earlier, that this psalm, being a Psalm of David, it is also a acrostic psalm, which means that each verse begins with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This would help in memorization of the whole psalm. All but two verses are consecutive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Amen? But this psalm was a very, very special psalm. I know we always talk about how unique and how special Psalm number 23 is, which is also written by David. And the thing is that Psalm 23 is special, but this Psalm 34 is also very special also. Because this is the psalm that David wrote after he had been through a whole bunch of stuff. Psalm 23 is believed that he wrote it knowing that the Lord was his shepherd and he shouldn't want for anything. He wrote it at a good time. But this psalm, David wrote this psalm when his life was full of trouble. He wrote it when his life was full of anguish, agony, and affliction. David wrote this psalm when his friends had turned on him. David wrote this psalm when the person that he tried to help the most had turned on him and decided to try and kill him. David had been Saul's armor bearer for a while, and Saul, he had not only been his armor bearer, but he had been the person who would play skillfully and anointed on the harp, so that whenever this evil spirit that came from the Lord would come to Saul, the anointed of God would drive away that evil spirit. David did nothing but minister and nothing but help Saul, but Saul turned on him. Anybody ever been like that? You've felt like you've helped people, and all of a sudden they turned on you. Come on and say amen. Saul threw his javelins at David. He hunted him down. He set people out to try to find David so that he could destroy him, all because a few people said Saul killed his thousands and David his 10,000. You see, sometimes when you do well, sometimes people will not like that. Even though you seem to do well under with their help sometime, they'll sometimes get jealous if someone says some good things about you. And you got to be careful. You got to be careful, because sometimes when we have good things happen, people will automatically just decide, well, you know what? I don't really like them no more. They ain't all that they say they are. They ain't all that. They think they're all that in a bag of chips. They think they're too much. They think this and they think that. You know, I have people say that about me. But you know what? I still be nice to them. I still feed them. I still help them. I still give to them. I still do for them. I don't let that bother me, because I know where my help comes from. And we all should practice that, because that's what Jesus did when Judas betrayed him. We all have a Judas. Amen. You may not want to recognize, you may not want to admit it, but we all have Judases in our life, and we need to give them the sop instead of giving them a slap. Amen. We need to say, go do whatever it is in your heart, because it must be the will of God. And it's God's will that we sometime have a Judas, so that we can finally make it to our cross, so that we can finally make it to our crucifixion and to our death in the flesh, so that we can rise and have a resurrection. Amen. Amen. And so when we look at this, David, he was on the run from Saul. And David, being on the run from Saul, he says, well, I need to go to Gath. I need to go. Basically, he went to his enemy. David went to where Goliath was from. He went to Gath, and he went there seeking some shelter, seeking some help. And so when they found him, they took David before King Abimelech, or in 1 Samuel, it's called Achish, which is the same as Abimelech. That was the name like Pharaoh was given to all the kings of Egypt. Abimelech was given to all the kings of the Philistines. And so he went to him, and they took him there, and he sought to do something to David. But David said, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to act crazy. David started to spit and foam at the mouth, and spit went all down his beard. He began scratching on the doors and the wall. And the king said, this can't be David, this mighty man of valor. This can't be him. And so David acted like a crazy man, an insane man before King Abimelech. And King Abimelech thought, and see, in that day, it was bad luck somewhat. They thought it was bad luck to kill somebody who was insane. So he said, well, let me let him go. They let him go. And when they let him go, David went to the cave called Adullam. And while he was there, he met up with some fellas, some friends of some people who became friends of his, about 400 men. But before I get further down into it, let's go down into the scripture and look, since I gave you some background of Psalm 34, what David was doing and what happened during this time for him to write this psalm. David had been hunted down by Saul. Now David had fallen into the hand of the enemy. Now David was released from the hand of the enemy, and he seemed like he was all alone and by himself, and it seemed like nobody understood him. And so he took his pen out, began to write, I will bless the Lord at all times. We have to get to a place that even though we go through some stuff, we don't have any fear of blessing the Lord while we're in it. Amen. We have to get to a place where we learn to first off celebrate God. Now, when he said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth, he was saying, I will celebrate God. And David was saying, look, I will celebrate him not just because I escaped. But look at this. He said, I'll do it at all times, no matter what goes on in my life, whether it's good times or bad times, I will celebrate God. David said that this is a personal celebration. He said, for I will.
And so we have to make it point within ourselves and take the initiative to celebrate God. We can't wait till somebody else tells us you ought to celebrate God. You ought to praise God for what he's done for you. You ought to praise God because he woke you up. You ought to praise God because he's given you your right mind to clothe yourself, to feed yourself. You shouldn't wait for somebody to say that you ought to praise God because he's blessed you. You don't even see how well you're blessed and how good God has been to you. We should not have to wait for others. We should take the initiative to say, I will bless the Lord. Now the word bless in the Hebrew, it comes from a word that has to do with the knee. And so David said, I'll use my knees. Come on and say amen. I will bless the Lord. I'll get down on my knees. I'll get up. Or basically, I'll use them like I did when the Ark of the Covenant came back. I was leaping. So you have to learn how to use your knees. Come on and say hallelujah. He said, I will celebrate God. I will bless the Lord at what? All times. And not only it is a personal thing to celebrate God, but it is a perpetual thing. David say that I will bless him at all times. I will always continually, his praise shall be continually in my mouth. I will always praise God because he's deserving of it every moment, every hour of the day. Come on and say amen. He said, I will bless him at all times. Now when I look at the word all, it is the word eth in the Hebrew or in the Chaldean, and it means that I will bless him now, I will bless him then, I will bless him when and always, continually, in the evening, in the morning, I will bless him in every season, in the noontime, and whenever I have an opportunity to bless the Lord, I will bless him, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. The word praise is the word tahila, which means that I will make a loud saying, or I will speak loudly, or laudation of God. Amen. I will make sure that I give him the highest praise every chance that I get. But look at this. He says that my praise will be perpetual and personal. But look, he also says in verse 2, my soul shall make her boast of the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. My celebration should not only be personal and perpetual, but it should be influential. When you praise God, you should be influential. You should influence somebody around you to praise God. You should influence people to say, I want to praise God because he's been good to me too. I'm not going to just let you praise God without me saying, I praise the Lord. When somebody say, praise the Lord, you ought to say, praise the Lord. When somebody say, praise him, you ought to say, hallelujah. When somebody say, praise him, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. You ought to be able to praise the Lord each time that you see somebody that said, I'm praising him too. He said, my soul, my innermost, my soul. Now, what is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. So my soul, and see, that's why I can't understand how some people say, well, you know, I don't think it takes all of that to praise God. When getting emotional, when I find that it's easy for you to be emotional, not be spiritual, but it's hard for you to be spiritual, not be emotional, because the Spirit of God moves on the very soul of a person. And so that means that my mind is set to praise him, my will is to praise him, and my emotions show that I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to be happy. That's why Paul say, rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. That's why Paul tells us that we ought to rejoice with them that what? Rejoice. In other words, my praise ought to be influential. I ought to be able to influence you that God has been good to you, and that you don't mind lifting your hands, praising God, and saying, Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. So I need to make sure that I praise him. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And remember, I said earlier in the service that praise ought to be a natural thing. It ought to be something natural. In the nature of something, you can tell what it is. You ought to be able to tell what I am by my nature, amen, by the nature of something. You know, if it's something that you hear rumbling around, if you listen for a minute and you hear it bark, you know it's a dog. Or you hear it meow, you know it's a cat. And if I don't know whether or not you're truly a Christian, at some point I ought to hear you praise the Lord. Amen. If you're a believer, at some point I ought to hear you say thank you. At some point I ought to hear you say hallelujah. at some point, you cannot, as a Christian, go through life and not open up your mouth and praise the Lord. My soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, he says, shall make her boast in the Lord. I like this, hallel, the word hallel, which really means to celebrate, what we are to shine and to celebrate. And so what this means here is that I need to make a good show. In other words, I need to show off because of what God has done. Now, I don't know about you, but God has been too good for me. So I'm going to show off because he's been good. And he said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, in the Lord. And so it's all right to show off in the Lord. Now, if I get beside myself and start being prideful, then there's a problem. But then if I show off in the Lord and I show, you know, don't blame me. You need to blame the Lord. If you don't like what's going on in this life, you don't need to look at me. Look past me and see what the Lord has done. Hallel, I need to hallel. It means to rave, almost rave foolishly. It means to shine, to make a show, to boast, amen, to celebrate. And we need to learn how to celebrate God. And we know when you have a birthday and you want to celebrate, you want everybody to know it's your birthday. You put it on Facebook, happy birthday to this guy. Happy birthday to me. You put dollars and pin a few dollars. Ain't nobody gave you no money yet, but you pin a few dollars on yourself because when you go to the store, you want everybody to make a big thing out of your birthday because you're celebrating. It's my birthday. We want everybody to know. And so when you talk to somebody, yeah, I made 46 today, even though you didn't have that in the conversation, you made it part of the conversation. And then you want to celebrate. You want to get all your friends together and have a good time. You don't want nobody fussing and arguing at your birthday. You don't want nobody to feel down. Come on, let's have a good time. Well, guess what? If you're going to do that all for yourself, what about what you should do for God? You ought to make a big deal out of him. You ought to make a big to-do out of how good he's been to you. I wish I had somebody here. We got to learn how to make a boast in the Lord. He said, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The meek shall hear and be glad. The ones who are low down, the ones who have been lowed by the load that they've carried. Amen. The ones who have been humbled by life. He said they shall hear about how good God is and they'll be glad. Whenever you've been through something, whenever you had an encounter with evil, whenever you've had a hard time, when somebody tell you how good God is and that he brought you through, they realize that, you know, if God did it for them, I know he has no respect of persons. He'll also do it for me. Come on and say amen. We need to know that God will do it, and since God has done it in the neighborhood, then God is like the mailman. If he's done it down the street, I might as well get ready because he's coming down my street. Sooner or later, he'll be right there to bless me also. So I need to be able to praise God and praise him in every situation. I'll be glad when I hear about how good God's been, because that lets me know that he's still blessing. He's still moving. He's still healing. Amen. He's still delivering. He's still helping us out. He still answers prayer. That lets me know that God is still doing something. Hallelujah. So I celebrate him. I'm going to celebrate God. I got a celebration. But then as I go down, I read a little further. He says that in verse 3. Now, we understand in verse 1 and 2 that we ought to have a celebration. But then there's an invitation here. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Now, David starts out solo, but he invites the symphony to come and help him. He starts out by himself. He said, I will bless the Lord. But then he says to other folks that are around, don't just watch me. Join in. Oh, come on and say amen. He says, magnify the Lord with me. Amen. When we talk about that, he's saying that, look, you need to be able to magnify, honor God, do all you can to the Lord. He said, and let us exalt his name together. Look at this invitation. He invites others to praise along with him. We always inviting people to ride along, sing along, talk along, text along. I wish I had somebody. We invite people to a lot of things, but let's invite people to praise God with us. Amen. He said, let magnify the Lord with me. And so he begins to, he says, praise with me because of what God has done. Now, the word magnify means, basically, it means that we need to expand to see how big God is. We need to magnify. He's bigger than our problems. He's bigger than our situation. He's bigger than who's doing whatever they're doing to you. He's bigger than, and he has more power than the devil has. I wish I had somebody. He has all power. God is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere. And for that, we ought to magnify him. Amen. And he said, let us exalt. In other words, let's throw his name up. Let's lift him up. Let's lift him up. With anybody here, you want to lift up the name of Jesus? You want to lift him up? I remember when we used to be at St. Savior, there was the pastor's wife, Mother Fanna. She would always say, don't let his name go down. Don't let his name go down. She would always, and if it get quiet, she would say, oh, don't let his name go down. She would always be lifting his name. And I never really understood that, but I just thought maybe she just liked praising God. But the Bible says that we ought to exalt his name. We ought to lift his name. He said, let us throw his name up. Hallelujah. In other words, when I think about what I'm going through, I just say, Jesus. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. When I think about what I've been through and how I came out, I begin to say, Jesus. You see, we got to understand something. You know, the older people, we older and younger people, and I'm kind of in between because I'm in between generations. But the younger people, we praise God for what God kept us from. But the older people praise God for what he's brought them through. And so I'm kind of in between the two. I praise God for what he's kept me from, but also I praise God for what he's brought me through. He's brought me through danger seen and unseen. He's brought me through many dangers, toils, and snares. He's brought me through many afflictions. He brought me through many trials and tribulation. He brought me through so much that I don't have time to tell you about all that he brought me through. All you need to know is that he brought me through. Do I have any witnesses here today with me that say, you know what, I'm a witness that God will bring you through if you just trust, wait, and obey, be patient, and God will do what he said he would do. God will bring you through. We need to get to a place in our life that we realize that God will bring us through, but then also we need to realize that there are some things that we didn't even see that God protected us from. There are some things that I didn't even know were about to happen. There were some setups that I didn't know the devil had put in my way, the wiles of the devil, the tricks, the traps to trip me up that I didn't even realize was there, but God thought enough of me to take me around it. God thought enough of me to take me over it. God thought enough of me to say, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to blind you from it so you won't even fear this thing, so that you'll make it through. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, come on and give God glory. I remember I had a friend of mine. He was telling me, man, you know, I had a heart attack and didn't even know it. I just kept going, and I did my EKG the other day, and they said, at some point since last year, you must have had a heart attack. And he said, I didn't even realize it. Nothing changed. I didn't stop eating. I didn't stop drinking. I didn't stop doing what I was doing. I did everything I was doing last year. I was still doing it this year, and I didn't even notice. And you know what? I told him, I said, that ain't nobody but the Lord, because it's impossible for you not to know that something happened inside of you. And they said, well, you need to probably watch this and watch that. I said, you just need to watch the Lord. If you keep your eyes on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. Do I have anybody here that say, all I need is just a taste? When you taste and see that the Lord is good, you'll praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. The invitation. He gave them an invitation. But look, at this time, he escaped to the cave of Adullam, David did. And there were 400 men with him. And at this time, David was praising God. But I wondered who was David talking to. But at this time, he's at the cave. And in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, says that there are some men that came. It was about 400 of them. And the Bible said that these men were desperate. They were in debt. They were discontented. In other words, they were not satisfied, and they was restlessly unhappy. Oh, come on and say amen. You know how you are so unhappy that you just can't rest. I just can't rest. I can't sleep on this. I got to do something. I can't just take this line down. I got to get out. I got to go do something. These men were so in a place that when they met David, they made David their leader. David was in a place too. But God anointing on David, his anointing on David, his natural leadership that God placed on him, made him the leader of 400 men that became mighty men of valor. They came, they began in debt. They began desperate. They began discontented. They began dissatisfied and restlessly unhappy. But when David talked to them, look at what David did. David said, I'm telling you, I'll bless the Lord at all times. I'm telling you that my soul will make her boast. And then I realized David was talking to the folks that was with him. He said, the humble, you've been beat down by life, but you'll be glad to hear what I got to say. I wish I had somebody. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. He said, look, even though you're in debt, magnify the Lord. Even though you're unhappy, magnify the Lord. Even though you're desperate for something to happen in your life, you know how it is. I need a change in my life, and you're desperate for change. But David said, praise the Lord in your desperation. I wish I had somebody. He was letting them know, even though you got some situations going on in your life, you need to learn how to praise him through your situation. I praise God. I dance in advance. I praise him until something happens. Do I have any witnesses here? Let us exalt his name. Don't let me praise by myself. Don't let me just say hallelujah by myself. I wish I had a few folks that would celebrate with me. I'm inviting you to come praise. David said, if I'm going to lead you, you're going to have to be like the leader. You're going to have to follow the leader. You're going to have to do what I do if I'm going to lead you. So what David said, if I'm going to praise him, you need to praise him with me. Oh, we all here in this cave. We all don't have houses to go to. We all owe somebody. We all unhappy. But that doesn't mean that we have to be miserable. I'm going to minister to the Lord with my praise. Do I have anybody here that say, I'm going to minister to the Lord. I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to magnify him. Oh, hallelujah. Then he says, I sought the Lord. Now, we talk about the celebration. We talked about the invitation. But I got some inspiration here. David said, I'm telling you, you ought to praise the Lord. I've told you what I'm going to do. I've told you that I'm going to praise him always, in good times and bad, when I'm happy, when I'm sad. I'm going to praise God. Then he invited them, why don't you praise God with me? But then David said, let me give you some inspiration. Let me tell you why I praise the Lord, and I'm almost halfway done here. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. David said, let me tell you something. I got a right, I got a reason, and I got a responsibility to praise the Lord. All of us have a right to praise him. All of us should have some reasons to praise him, and all of us have a responsibility that we ought to praise ye the Lord. I wish I had somebody. He said, I want you to know that you need to praise the Lord, because first off, I sought the Lord. David said, I looked for him. David said, he listened to me. David said, then he loosed me. Come on and say, man, we need to realize that my inspiration for praising God is I sought the Lord. He heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. I sought him. I looked for him. He heard me. Come on and say, man, he listened to me. He delivered me. In other words, he loosed me from all my fears, the things that I thought could happen to me, the things that I thought would take me out. To God said, I'll protect you. I'll keep you. The things that I thought was going to be my downfall, God said, no, that's your lifting up. The things that I thought would wipe me off, God said, no, that's what I'm going to do, wipe you off. The things that I thought would take me out, the things that I thought would set me back, God said, no, they just set you up for praise. I wish I had somebody here that said, I'm going to celebrate. I'm inviting you to this invitation here, and I'm inspired to praise ye the Lord. David said, I looked, he listened, and he loosed me. Then David said that I'm inspired inspired to praise God, and I'm going to inspire you to praise God. Look at verse 5. I like this because at first, I used to read this years ago and didn't understand how that all of a sudden he said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And then he switches almost to say that this is not even part of what he's talking about in verse 5. He said, and they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. I'm like, what in the world? Why is this scripture in there? Because it just don't seem like it fits as you go down the list of what's being said, because it changes the conversation in midstream. Come on and say amen. But I realized what David was saying here. He said that the folks that was with me, after I was inspired to tell them that I look